Prime Rate Motors, where we are looking to buy your clean used vehicles, tractors, ATVs, and much more. We will also downtrade and do appraisals. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we are a full service dealership offering quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs. Our Super Trailer store features a wide variety of stock, utility, and cargo trailers. Prime Rate Motors has been making customers happy for decades. See us today at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan or online at primeratemotors.com.
Got a dream too big for the garage? Your business is growing and you need to step up your game. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums are customizable warehouse spaces designed for trades, startups, and small businesses. They are ready to scale with high ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly built-ins. More than a workspace, it's a foundation for your future. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums. Own your space and build your business. Located near everything at 72 East Ridge Road. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates for a walkthrough.
Get ready to ignite your potential. Join us May 20th for the Chamber's 10th Annual Ignite Conference, a power-packed day of professional development and business inspiration for professionals at every level. Topics include marketing, leadership, human resources, finance, business development, tech, and so much more. For details and to register, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org. The 2025 Ignite Conference is sponsored in part by D.A. Davidson, Susie Garber Johnson, Harps & Associates, the Sheridan Press, and Wyo Stays.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, May 14th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
How did your class go yesterday? You say you got to stay out of the rain.
I did, yeah. I had an education program, and it was outside, and it was a nice sunny day, so that's always a good thing.
Now, how has your spring been so far?
Great. I love seeing the green and everything growing. I'm mowing twice a week. That's the flip side.
You already started.
My gosh. Yeah, it's really growing.
Are you a flower or a plant person?
Yes.
Are you?
I've been trying to not plant outside stuff yet. But, you know, you have the warm days and you get excited and think, I'm going to put out my flowers. And then you think, that's not a good idea. So.
Why is that?
Well, you can still have a freeze. I think last year we had a freeze like June
1st.
You got to be careful putting stuff out too early.
When do you usually like to do it?
Memorial weekend, you know, although I have put some flower pots together, but I can take them inside if need be.
Yeah.
But like anything in the ground, I haven't really, I mean, just cold hardy stuff like peas and lettuce and stuff like that.
Years and years and years ago, I had an ex-girlfriend plant a succulent in just a kind of a tin little thing. And I thought, couple seasons, that thing's going to be gone. I've never done anything with it, Christina, except it's on the porch. I don't bring it in for winter. I don't water it. And that thing continues to thrive.
Thrives on neglect.
Oh my goodness. This thing, it just kind of blows your mind. You know, it's been there probably, since the first year I've been here. So maybe 7-8 years. And it does amazing.
Some are really, really tough.
Yeah, I wish I could remember what kind of plant it was and suggest it to other people who are not good green thumbers. Now, speaking of spring, things do open up, and a few wildlife habitat management areas will be opening tomorrow.
Correct. So here in our area along the front of the Bighorns here, there are five. So that's Amston Creek, Bud Love, Edo Taylor, Ellis, and Kearns. So we've got five starting, you know, Kearns is up on kind of the Montana, Wyoming state line, Amston Creek, outside Dayton, Bud Love, outside Buffalo, and Edo Taylor and Ellis are down southern Bighorns outside of the KC area. So kind of spread all along the front there. So three of them will open tomorrow. So they open May 15th at 8 a.m. And that is Amsden, Bud Love, and Edo Taylor. Ellis and Kearns remain closed until 8 a.m. on June 1st.
Now, what is the purpose of a wildlife habitat management area? Why did the Game and Fish really establish these throughout the state?
So there are more than 40 around the state, they all have different purposes. So, you know, they've all been looked at strategically for what they're going to provide for wildlife. So in our area, Amsden Creek is the oldest. So the earliest piece, which is up in that Tongue Canyon area. So a lot of people think that's Forest Service. That's actually Game and Fish in that Tongue River Canyon area. That was the first one that we purchased here, and that was in 1944, and Kearns in 1949, so just 5 years later. So they've been around a long time, and they were purchased with federal dollars as a match, or not a full match, I think 75-25, something like that. But they were identified as areas that needed to be set aside for big game winter range.
Okay.
So here specifically, that's what it's for. But other parts of the state, it may have been bighorn sheep. Yeah. Winter range specifically, Yellowtail on the other side of the mountain here, they focus on waterfowl. So it depends on the area and what they're going to manage and conserve on those properties. For ours, all along the face here tends to be good winter range for wildlife. So those were areas set aside for a protected area during the winter. So these seasonal closures have been in place for decades.
Yeah.
To just provide those animals a place to be in the winter, which of course is a rough time, and just be undisturbed. So that is the purpose of these seasonal closures that have been in place for a long time, is to give them space. And, you know, even throughout the rest of the year, all of the management that takes place on those properties are directed for big game. So a lot of work on, of course, unfortunately, these days, invasive plants. So always looking for, keeping an eye out and treating where we find them early as possible, you know, invasive plants, because we want to keep natural native diversity on the landscape with the plant community. So basically, they're all managed for that purpose for big game, at least here in the Sheridan area.
So basically, they're sanctuaries.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. So the habitat is what we're trying to protect, and you know, our previous habitat and access person. So we have a person dedicated to managing these areas, and the previous one used to always say that's their slice of the landscape pie.
Yeah.
You know, it's set aside for these animals. So
gives them a place to go and eat. Now, when we look at individuals wanting to kind of get out there on these pieces of land, what's really the goal? Why do people really look forward to these opening up?
Well, so people use them throughout the year during those open dates for different purposes. So some people go horseback riding, some people go hiking, some people go look at wildflowers, some come to try to take photos of wildlife. So all kinds of purposes. Of course, you know, public recreation is secondary to that primary purpose of protecting those animals. That's why we have those regulations. But during the times that they're open, people come out just to walk around and enjoy and see wildlife and be outside.
And because they know that these are kind of sanctuaries, you have a high chance of seeing some wildlife out there, right?
Yeah. So like I said, even though, you know, we think of, you know, some of these like Amsden and Kearns, you know, there's elk there, and they tend to go further up the mountain for the summer, you know, so they may or may not be down lower, you know, in the summer, but certainly there's bears, I've seen moose out there, mule deer, all kinds of critters. So even though it's managed primarily for big game, of course, lots of other animals have that space as well.
You know, the only time I see moose is when I go home. I haven't been able to see one in the bighorns as of yet. I know, a big surprise. Now, that being said, I haven't spent hours and hours up there like you have. But I haven't seen a moose around here as of yet. But every time I go back to Star Valley, holy cow, it's like they're waiting on me. I see one pretty quick, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You need to go make a trek. Go,
get out more.
Go on a moose trip. Go look for moose. Yeah, we've got a good, nice population of moose.
Now, when it comes to shed antler hunting, like there's a season for this within the state of Wyoming? Or no?
On one side of the state, on the western side of the state, there is a collection area that does have different regulations.
Okay.
So those you would need to get online. If you're going to go over there, they do have different regulations. We are not in that collection area.
Okay.
So I would encourage folks, if you are going to go over there, you need to read the rules that are familiar with that. Be familiar with those rules. You can find those online. For our area, you know, the important thing that we say is our WHMAs are closed during those seasonal closures. You can be cited for going in for any reason into those areas. Private land, make sure, again, just like hunting, it's your responsibility to know where you are. So if you're out looking for sheds, you need to know where those boundaries are. You need to have permission if you are going on private land. And also we have a little confusion with our walk-in areas and hunter management areas. So those are areas, those are private land signed up for very specific either hunting or fishing access during specific dates of the year for specific species. So even though they're called a walk-in area, those are not open outside what is designated, whatever the landowner has designated, again, usually hunting in the fall for certain species during certain times. So they're not open for general public recreation. You can't go hike there. You can't go collect shed antlers there. You can't go bike there. You can't do anything like that. Those are private land and only open for specific purposes during specific times. So there's a little bit of a confusion with that.
Well, I think, and rightfully so. You know, I want to invite hunters out onto my land, but I don't think I want people there year round.
Correct. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's, again, we've worked, we have an Access Yes coordinator who works directly with landowners and they work out a situation that works for the landowner. So,
yeah.
So anything outside of that is not allowed without the private landowner's direct permission.
Now, I would think that these habitat management areas would have some shed on them. Am I allowed to go into these areas and go shed hunting?
Yes.
And when they're open?
Yes, yes. Open. And there will be people lined up, you know, tomorrow morning when these open up at 8 a.m. And that's what people are looking for is shed antlers. So, yes, you can collect shed antlers when you find them. One caveat is they do have to be naturally shed from the body. So sometimes you may come across, you know, a carcass with antlers still attached to a head. And again, here's another point of confusion. You are not allowed to collect those from the field.
So you can't pick up a skull.
No. So what you need to do, take a picture of it, get an exact location, get in contact with the game warden and say, hey, I would like to collect this from the field. So you cannot remove it from the field. You do need to get that permission first. And the reason for that is the warden wants the opportunity to go and look and see if that animal potentially has been illegally killed. So,
gotcha.
So that gives them the chance to go and take a look and, you know, say, oh, you know, this is just a natural death. It died of, you know, during the winter or whatever. But in some cases, you know, it could potentially be evidence. There could be things there that show that that animal was not legally taken. So they want that opportunity to go in and look at it first. So,
and I could understand that. I've covered some of the big cases that Wyoming Game and Fish has handled through the years. And boy, you guys are relentless. I'll give you that. Some of these cases last years and years, Christy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a lot of detective work.
Yeah. They don't give up.
It's a lot of detective work. And so, you know, if something illegal has happened, they want the opportunity to go and look. So, again, if you find something like that, take a picture, get a real good location that can let the warden get right to it. You know, if you can drop a pin or something like that on your phone, they can get right to it, go check it out, see if they can determine what happened, and go from there. So,
and then it's kind of up to them if Correct. Know what? We don't need this. This was a natural death. Go ahead.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So, folks, if it's got a skull attached, make sure you're calling your local warden, having them come out, take a good look at it, and then you can take it. When it comes to other shed antler hunting, those who know, know. But we do have a lot of individuals moving into the state. They may not really know that much about shed antlers, but they're thinking, I've never lived someplace I can go out and do this. But they can go out and take some naturally shedded antlers off the ground at these habitat management areas. So if you get out there first, but like Christina said, there's going to be a line.
Yeah, there will be folks there. And, you know, do want to caution folks, you know, again, there's animals out there. So if you see some that are still out and you see that you're causing them disturbance and stress and trying to move away, you know, please respect their space. And they're coming out of winter. They're still, you know, trying to recover from months of winter. So we don't want to stress them any more than necessary. So if you see some, please give them plenty of space. If you're doing something that's causing them to move, change direction, do something like that. Also, of course, with all the rain, keep in mind, in some cases, and this has happened several times with the Kern specifically, there's a whole bunch of rain, the roads are really muddy, and they may, in some cases, if conditions warrant, that some roads may have to get closed just because they can be damaged so easily if they're really waterlogged. So just keep in mind that might be a possibility. So then you can still access it. It just might be, you know, some roads that to prevent resource damage might be closed.
Might be walking in
Or horseback. But that's all weather dependent, and we'll just see what happens with that. And e-bikes, we get a lot of questions about electric bikes. People ask if they can ride those off road, and no, you cannot. We do consider those motorized vehicles, so they need to stay on marked, established motorized roads within the units.
Okay, that is something that I wouldn't have thought either. You know, I tend to think that those are more like bicycles than motorized vehicles, but they do have an electric motor, so they fall under that category. So keep that in mind. Anything that is motorized is a motorized vehicle. Now, before we go to a commercial, I just want to touch on this. It's something that you and I touch on every spring. Bears are active, and you've already got a reported incident.
Yes, bears are out and about, and we've had a couple reported conflicts with something that we've been seeing increasingly in recent years, conflict with backyard domestic animals. So either, you know, chickens or backyard goats or things like that, or they're associated feed, you know, supplements or feed that are left out that bears can get to.
Pretty tempting.
So, yeah, this is absolutely, please take a look around your place. Look at anything that might attract a bear, barbecue grills. Again, this livestock feed, if you've got chickens, goats, ducks, things like that you want to protect, consider an electric fence. They are very effective. And we do actually even have backyard bees, another big one.
Yeah,
very attractive. But fencing works, electric fencing works. You do need to, you know, invest in putting one up and make sure that it stays functioning. But they do work, and, you know, it's a good investment to protect these things. So check with feed stores, see what they can do to help you out. And there's lots of designs online you can look at on how to set one up and maintain it. Garbage. A big one, you know, please don't set your garbage out 4 days before the garbage truck is coming. Please keep it in a garage, a hard-sided building, shed, something like that until the morning of pickup, because that's a huge one that we see conflict with. And bird feeders, of course. And I understand people like to feed the birds. I do too. But, you know, make sure you're putting some thought into where those feeders are being hung, and can they go somewhere they're going to be out of the reach of a bear, or put the tiniest amount of food in there. So the birds are going to eat it very quickly. And if a bear comes across it, there's not going to be that food reward there for them. So, you know, we live in bear habitat. All of Sheridan County is bear habitat. There could be a bear anywhere in Sheridan County. So, you know, even if you live, you know, out east or down south, and you think, oh, I may not see bears. They could be anywhere. So
they wander quite well.
They do. They do. And of course, we often see them come into Sheridan or come into Dayton or come into Story. So just do a walk around your property. Make sure it's bear-proofed. If you go online, we have our BearWise page. It has lots of great information on you know, how to live in bear country and what you should look at to prevent a conflict. And of course, really important, please call us. If you think you have a conflict, call right away. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to call. You know, it's going to get the bear in trouble. That's actually the opposite. You know, unfortunately, people wait several days, then they get tired of picking up their trash, tired of dealing with it. Then they call. But then that pattern's established at that point.
Yep.
And that bear has learned, I get food if I hang around someone's house.
This is where to go.
So yeah. Moving it, you know, it limits our choices at that point on management for that bear. So if you call the very first time, get your stuff picked up, call us out, let us take a look, see what's going on. That really is the best course of action. That really is the best for the bear.
All right. And on that, we're going to have more with our Wyoming Game and Fish Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank, member FDIC.
Heads up, whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
This is David Turner, owner and managing broker of Engel & Volker Sheridan. Our real estate advisors, Misty Gardner, Cody Hunt, Zach McDermott, and Jackson Pauly are experts at residential, commercial, luxury homes, as well as ranch and recreational properties. Let Engel & Volkers give you the real estate experience you deserve. Talk to a trusted advisor at 206 West Brundage Street in Sheridan, or call us at 307-655-8383. That's 307-655-8383. Life's taking you places. We'll help you get there. Engel & Volkers Real Estate.
Did you know that the inventor of those stacked potato chips in a tube is buried in one? Seriously, the guy was only 9 inches tall. Just kidding. He actually had a big can. But you tuning up your own 4x4 side-by-side lawnmower? Now that's a real stretch. If your idea of a tune-up is a wish and a socket set from aisle 12, you need to get that tater chip to Hando's Service Center ASAP. At Hando's, they don't fix your snacks. They fix and tune up your 4x4 side-by-side lawnmower. Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Join us Saturday, May 17th from 11 to 2 at 38 South Main for a community barbecue lunch and fundraiser. There will be great food, live music, games, and a silent auction, all to support Clothing Connections and the current and future ministries of Illuminate Church. Come and see what God has done and how you can be a part of what's next. Everyone is welcome. We hope to see you Saturday, May 17th, 11 to 2 at 38 South Main.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're laughing with Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Wordplay, my friend. It just makes me laugh. Okay, now the Wyoming Game and Fish Sheridan region is going to be hosting an in-person public meeting to discuss a few proposed regulations. Christina, what are those regulations that are coming up?
Yep, so the meeting will be 5 p.m. on May 19th at the Game and Fish office here in Sheridan, and it's an in-person meeting. So we actually have two meetings I'm going to talk about. One is in-person here in Sheridan. So and these meetings to discuss these chapters are going to be discussed different places all over the state. So it's not just Sheridan. This is statewide. So there are other meetings being held in other towns on these same topics. So we have mountain lion hunting seasons, gray wolf hunting seasons, and Chapter 44 is regulation for issuance of licenses and permits and tags. So those three chapters will be discussed. So if anyone has, you know, interest in those, you can get online now and take a look at we do a couple things. We put the proposed regulation, and then we do a statement of reasons, which kind of explains the purpose behind, you know, whatever proposed changes there might be. So it's really helpful. Certainly the big one, I think, for Chapter 44, there are some proposed changes to how landowner licenses are allocated. And there's, again, a big statement of reasons and what those proposed changes are, which includes, you know, increasing the minimum acreage required for a landowner to have in order to be eligible for a landowner license, increasing the number of animal use days. There's a lot to it, so I would highly suggest folks, I see the questioning face making.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that I needed to own so much acreage.
Yeah, so those have been in place for a long time, so there are parameters on what is required for a person to be eligible for a landowner license, and so these are some proposed changes to that, which, okay. So it is, you know, a minimum amount of property owned, you know, having a certain amount of interest in that property. So we're changing the definition, or proposing to change the definition, to require an applicant to hold at least 20% interest in the property. Number of animal use days. So animals are using that property. So either elk or deer or pronghorn, something like that. So we call those animal use days. So that is a change is being proposed for that as well. And then expanding the definition of immediate family member. So So there's several different changes here. And I would suggest folks do go and read through this so that they understand. It's kind of hard to explain just on air, you know, all of the nuances to it. But this came out of, so the Wildlife Task Force, you remember that was convened by the governor a few years ago. They looked at several really complex topics with wildlife in the state. This was one of them. How are landowner licenses allocated? Do we need to revisit it? And so they made recommendations to the commission. The commission held multiple public meetings, information gathering, discussed this at their meetings in 2023 and 2024. And what came out of that last November was they did direct the department to develop some proposed changes. Of course, like with all policy, the commission will make that decision. So these are, at this point, proposed changes, and the public has, as they always do, the opportunity to comment on them. So if this is something you're interested in, and it's not just changes in landowner license application, there are several other edits to that whole chapter. A lot of it is just clarifying language, things like that. But again, some of these, there are multiple sections that are having some level of change, and so folks might want to read through that. Again, the statement of reasons is fairly concise. It's about three pages, and it says by section, here's what we are proposing, and here's why. So I think that'll be really helpful for folks. Again, same with gray wolf, mountain lion seasons. If there are any changes, those will be listed in a statement of reason, and all of that can be found on our website. If you go to the Get Involved tab at the top and hit public meetings, it lists every chapter that's open for public comment. So you're welcome to come to the public meeting May 19th at 5 p.m. We will take written comments, answer questions, present the proposals. And then, of course, folks always have the online option as well. And all of the written comments, just like with season setting that we talked about last month, those do get presented to the commission for them to consider before they make their decision.
All right. Now, the virtual meeting is going to deal more with like fishing regulations in various Wyoming locations. So that one will be online because it is kind of more area specific. So folks can find the link to that. We've actually got that link up on SheridanMedia.com right now. So
yes, so that meeting will also be on May 19th. It will be there are some other parts of the state that have had in-person meetings because some of the changes to fishing regulations or watercraft regulations that are being proposed are more impactful in other parts of the state than here. So they have had public meetings. We don't have any major changes in our area, so we did not have an in-person meeting. But definitely, again, if you travel around the state to other places, I would encourage you to get online and see, for example, in the Casper region on the North Platte, portions of the North Platte, there are some significant proposals for changes. So if that's an area you go to, you have the opportunity, even though we don't have an in-person meeting, we did offer this virtual option. You can get on, hear the biologist talk, make some comments.
Be a part of the conversation, folks. And one last thing, I got to let you go, Christina. So I'm just going to announce this. Sheridan check stations are now open daily. Get your boat checked out. We don't want aquatic invasive species in our waters. Christina, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
It's Thanks for having me. You.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan Community Land Trust. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust cash management solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn on why training your dog is important.
Well, I kind of compare it to a child. Typically what we say is Junior's going to go to school. He's going to at least get a basic education, hopefully high school at the least. But through that, he's going to learn rules of the house, you know, taking out the trash, cleaning off the supper table, doing the dishes, mowing the lawn. Why doesn't our dog have certain duties? And so at the least, what I recommend is a GED for a dog, and that's basic obedience. The sitting, the staying, the downs. The come command, of course, is the most important. That could save a dog's life. Leave it is a super handy command, telling the dog, hey, whatever you're doing right now, don't do it anymore. It should have some sort of structure. It needs a job. It wants a job. So those are the things that I encourage people to look at in their dogs. How can this animal benefit us?
Find out more about training, boarding, and doggy day camp online at thecountrypetinn.com or call Shan Foster at 674-8542.
The Volgari Emerald and Diamond Pendant Necklace that Richard Burton bought Elizabeth Taylor while filming Cleopatra during the 60s sold for just over $12 million. You won't see the Volgari Emerald at Legacy Diamond and Gems, but you will find stunning emerald jewelry that's more in line with your budget. Emeralds symbolize loyalty, new beginnings, peace, and security. A perfect present for your mom or someone with a birthday in May, or just because. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story. At 11 North Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit Branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Good morning. morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, I'm joined by Sheridan Community Land Trust History Program Manager Kevin Knapp and Director of Marketing and Development, Mr. Chris Verba. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back.
Thanks, Floyd.
Great morning,
Floyd. It's beautiful out there right now. It's a little chilly. It's chilly enough that you got to wear the coat, but I kind of like spring mornings like that. I don't like it too hot just yet.
It's better than the peeling sunburn I have on my arm from getting out fishing over the weekend, the past couple of weekends.
Man, this creeks are moving fast, though. We went down to the creek yesterday over in Buffalo, and holy goodness, that thing is pretty dang high, and it's really moving right now. How is fishing out there?
Well, if you're trying to fish in the moving water, it is pretty difficult because we are in runoff season. However, we're thankful for the precipitation. Now, what you can do this time of year is to pop over to our website at SheridanCLT, like communitylandtrust.org, and check out our Tongue River Water Trail Float Guide. So that'll tell you all the different places you can go and this is the best time of year to really be able to get into that water. It's going to be a little bit of a fast float right now. So obviously hazards change as the water changes, so always use caution. But it's also an opportunity to be able to explore one of our more underutilized recreation resources.
You know, when I was a kid, that was the funnest thing to do. You ran down to the tire shop, saw if they had any old tubes that they were, and they were great. At least they were back in the day.
I don't know that I would recommend a tube. Probably not anymore. That's more of a lazy river kind of float or a lazy creek float for the summer.
That's all we had. That's all we had was old tubes.
Put on a football helmet.
Speaking of old things, Floyd, we have this fantastic program coming up on Saturday.
Now tell us about that, because I think we discussed this beforehand, but what prompted the upcoming discovery session, Unearthing the Past?
Well, I'll let Kevin handle that one.
Sure. I mean, a couple of things. We do own our land out there now, and so we wanted to have archaeologists look at it just for its own sake. And so I had my buddies from cultural resource analysts, Colin Ferriman, Jason Weston, come and look at it anyways. There's a stone circle up on the hill behind our office.
Wow.
That was kind of the main point of interest to get them out there. And then as we were standing around and picking up prehistoric flakes around there and so on, it just kind of became a brainstorm of ours that it should be done as an official archaeological survey, you know, registered with the State Historic Preservation Office, but that it would be an opportunity to give the public that experience as well, which is completely unique.
Extremely unique.
Yeah. And then a lot of people don't know what an archaeological survey entails. Everybody pictures you start unearthing things and using toothbrushes, and really it's a lot of hiking and being attentive and looking at the ground and noticing things out of place, shiny rocks that aren't normally there, that sort of thing, and stone circles, and recording them, in context so that it can be used to understand our history a little better. And also, here, I'll tell you this. It's also an excuse for me to get out there with my archaeology buddies.
That's right. But the thing of it is their training is so thorough. I often tell this story about going out on an 11,000-year-old dig. And it's an area that is extremely close to where we are right now. A lot closer than I thought it would be. I thought I was going to end up having a drive. But the site was shared with me secretly. And I went out there. They had been digging for quite a while by the time I got out there. The flakes, you know, this archaeologist said, come check this out. Let's see what we found. And he's got this little palm full of flakes in his hand that I would have walked over, disregarded, just another tiny rock. But they're trained. And he's like, these are flakes that someone was, it's what's left after someone wanted to make a tool sitting right here.
Yeah.
And I thought that is absolutely amazing because I would have thought those are just rocks.
Yeah. And it is a art and a skill. We still argue. I mean, Colin's the boss when we go out, but even he calls us over and says, what's your opinion? Is this really what I think it is?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to work in a group like that. And it's amazing when you have that skill, how quickly you see things. You start to use your imagination and you can start to picture what was going on there thousands of years ago, just from those little clues like that.
And I imagine it's a lot having to do with the shape, where it's at. And as you said, does this rock even belong here? This comes from this area way over here or whatever. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. So the prompting was actual finds. So there is material out there that people who attend this could actually end up coming across.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No matter what, you will record prehistoric materials of some kind. We know that those are there, and probably some good historic stuff as well. It just remains to be seen how extensive it is.
But what will the day look like, Kevin?
So we're starting at 9 a.m. And honestly, I leave that in Colin's capable hands. I've asked him a few times, and he's a little, he doesn't go into detail, but he's a professional. So I think people will show up. We will have some tables set up to sign in. Colin will give some, you know, basics of the day, of what we're looking for, of how we're going to do it. Probably just a little background too on the history and prehistory of our area and what we might find.
How cool.
And, but probably he's pretty efficient. So probably pretty quickly we'll hand out tools. I imagine, so far we have 40 or so people, signed up. So we'll probably break into teams, probably have different crews covering different sections of the 117 acres. And the stone circle, we believe that's for aviation, for early aviation navigation. Not what we thought at first. When you hear a stone circle, you think, oh, this is going to be related to some kind of Native American history. But this is more from the 1915s, 1920s. It's right below the airport. So that's our first guess. So people will probably want to get on that crew, but not everybody. So there'll be about an hour of just sitting there on that site, taking photos and really exhaustively documenting that one known feature.
When they start finding Bazooka Joe gum wrappers.
And there's prehistoric, we know, right around there. Like I say, this helped inspire us. There are prehistoric flakes right around there, but probably not associated with the site. It's just a multi-component site. People through history end up in the same place. And so the rest of the crews will probably be going out across, spreading out in a grid 30 meters apart, and walking in a line until somebody sees something. And then you call everybody over and we consult and look around and see if there's more. It's actually a pretty cool process, pretty easy. And you always rely on your team. It'll be hot. I don't know. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be doing, but not raining, it would be good.
Yeah.
People should dress accordingly. And I would recommend bringing a sack lunch. It's always nice to sit down next to something you're studying and have some food with your buddies.
Yeah, knock on wood, the forecast is looking pretty fantastic for Saturday. Yeah. A high of about 65 to 70, sunny, little bit of a breeze. So basically your perfect spring Saturday in Wyoming. We will have some beverages there for you. So we got water, we'll have some Gatorade, stuff like that. But, certainly bring a sack lunch. And at the same time, always bring your water bottle and dress for weather. A little bit of bug spray isn't going to be a bad thing. But come prepared.
Mm-hmm. Always bring that extra bag. That's a lesson that I learned pretty early on.
Bring a towel. Don't forget your towel.
You never know what's going to happen. My father's notorious for being the jacket guy. He's always got a jacket. And when people ask him why, he's like, because I'm from Wyoming. You never know what's going to happen. Right. But I find this absolutely fascinating because even though the circle's linked maybe not to something in prehistory, it's still part of Sheridan history.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure someone somewhere may still remember it, but it is kind of forgotten.
Yeah, we just walked onto it ourselves.
Yeah. So it's not like that the airport's got a bunch of information on it. So it is kind of a little piece of lost Sheridan history.
That's right.
And I know that there's a lot of aviators around here who absolutely love planes and helicopters and everything having to do with it.
It's just like the train folks, right? Yes. You find a passion, go for it. So you might even get some folks up there who are just interested because of that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's, we've talked about it quite a bit, and it's a fascinating, intriguing feature for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, moving on down the line.
One thing to remind everybody about that, Floyd, so the program on Saturday, Unearthing Our Past, at 9 a.m. out at the SCLT Big Goose Natural Area is free to attend. And it's also, you know, come and go. So if you can't, you know, we're going to start at 9 o'clock. If you can't make it for the entire time, please still come out.
You can help
for as long as you can. You know, we don't want... It doesn't have like a fixed end time because of the nature of an archaeological survey. Yeah. And so importantly, like, this is one of those scenarios where many hands make lighter work too. You know, the more people we have come out. So, you know, as you heard, we have about 40 to 50 people currently signed up. That's pretty dang good. But we also welcome plenty more to come and help. And so we'll have everything there for you to need, and we'll get in groups, and we're going to have a dang fun Saturday.
I know we like it. How awesome is it? We like it when people sign up, Chris. It kind of gives you guys a heads up. But if I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it until 11:30. Okay.
Come on out. Just come on out.
We want you to
stop on out. Yep. We'll make sure we'll have you sign the little piece of paper, and we'll get you out and working and have you in a group.
And a lot of times that's kind of how I run my weekend. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out or not. And if I show up, I show up. You know what I mean? Now, moving on down the line, Mayfly at Kendrick Park. What is this?
That's a collaborative little festival that is like a rod demo and gear demo that's down at Kendrick Park. So you'll be able to come out and see me there. I'm of the camp. I will start my day at Unearthing Our Past, and then I am going to go be at the Mayfly because our friends at Powder River Trout Unlimited put that on, as well as the local Fly Fishing International chapter. There is Blacktooth beer there. There is some food served. There is a band playing. And if you come down and see the SCLT table, I have copies of the Soldier Ridge Trail Pocket Nature Guide available for you. So this is happening from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So you can come out, try some stuff out. Again, a fantastic day. Also, if you're joining us at Unearthing Our Past, come on out afterwards. You know, once that survey gets done, come see what's happening in Kendrick Park and really enjoy a special Saturday outside here in the spring. Like, it's Wyoming. It's beautiful. Come have fun.
You finally get to get outside without freezing to death. Now, when it comes to the Mayfly event, a lot of this will be equipment showcasing then?
Yeah. You know, in the past, there have been a whole bunch of fly rods out there, so you can do casting demonstrations and demos. You can see new gear. You can talk to fellow fishermen that are out there. You know, we come out, we get invited to be part of it. And, you know, of course, right now, SCLT is doing a little more on the angling side, you know, with the stream improvements that we're working on at the Big Goose Natural Area. You know, fortunately, we've been able to do an aerial survey, and plans are in place at this point to be able to make some real stream habitat improvements. So, you know, maybe right now isn't the best time to go fish in Big Goose Creek because it's up and ripping.
Yeah.
It's up and ripping, and we'll see if it comes back down a little bit before the full mountain melt comes down on us, because that usually hits here in town like at the start of June, really starts getting really chocolate soupy. It looks kind of like my coffee sometimes with my chocolate milk in it.
That's a Clear Creek looks like that right now.
Yeah, exactly. Everything really is kind of blown out right now. But, you know, out there, we got some brown trout, we got some rainbow trout, there are mountain whitefish in there, there are smallmouth bass, and y'all can come on out to the Big Goose Natural Area. If you're not familiar with it, it's located at 14 Lane Lane, just outside of town. You can always visit our website, SheridanCLT, like communitylandtrust.org.
Now, Chris, I got about a minute and a half left. Let's blow through some of these real quick. Because it's stuff I want people to know. Unplug, Birds at the Sheridan Community Land Trust, Big Goose, naturally.
Yeah, that's coming up on Thursday, May 22nd from 5 to 6 p.m. It's our partnership with Science Kids. Dr. Julie Reeder is going to lead us on a fantastic tour of all the birds that we can see out at the Big Goose Natural Area. So come on out. That's free to attend. It's all ages, so it's fun for everyone.
Love that woman. She's amazing. Highly intelligent, and she knows everything that there is to know about birds,
yes,
I swear.
She does.
All right, Sheridan Community Land Trust Discovery Session, Big Goose Natural Area Plant Walk.
Mm. Yeah, that's Wednesday, May 28th. So this is a morning one, 8 to 9:30 in the morning. So come on out. It's led by Bob Gergovich. He's a fantastic botanist. He'll also be leading one, another plant walk up on Red Grade Trails at Bear Gulch later this summer. And I forget the date for that off the top of my head, but stay tuned. But come on out on Wednesday morning, May 28th. We also have out at the Big Goose Natural Area, we have the volunteer fence pull on Saturday, May 31st, starting at 8 a.m. You're going to be able to help us remove some old barbed wire fence at the natural area. And that will later be replaced with wildlife-friendly fence that both helps keep livestock contained while also allowing the wildlife at the Big Goose Natural Area to move a little more freely. So we appreciate any help you have with that. And, of course, coming up on Wednesday, June 25th from 5 to 7:30, it's our SCLT Backyard Barbecue presented by Eliason Financial and First Federal Bank and Trust. It's from 5 to 7:30. Hey, come on out and get some free Ligurski's burgers. We're going to have Tris Munsick playing live. Information about all of these fun-filled programs, including next week's Explore History program and next month's U-Cross Foundation tour as part of Explore History, is available on our website, Sheridan, CLT, like Community Land Trust, .org.
Guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. You guys are always fantastic, man. Yeah, thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Imagine rolling out a wearing Chevrolet with four brand new tires, and the last one cost you just a buck, Doug Wooden.
That's right, Bob. Buy three tires, get the fourth one for $1. I mean, that's like finding a dollar bill in your pants that pays for the fourth tire.
Isn't that the best feeling ever? This sale's been extended through May 31st. Buy three, get one for whatever change you can find in your pants.
It's a dollar, Bob.
Wearing Chevrolet, 107 East Alger. Tire sale extended through May 31st, wearingsheridan.com.
Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan wants you to remember what Memorial Day is all about. It's about the men and women who sacrificed by risking their lives in danger zones around the world. Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan honors our troops and veterans for their dedication. Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan offers quality lawn care. Established in 1980, the staff at Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan honor our troops and veterans.
Spring is in the air, and at Midas, that means a little more green in your pocket. You could save $50 on brakes and up to $150 on shocks and struts. Plus, while your car is getting a tune-up, schedule a little time for detailing at Sheridan Auto Spa and save 10%. It's like the savings are just pouring in. Protect your investment inside and out and save a few coins in the process. You'll get that new car feeling all over again at Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE. KROE.